This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Greeting to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we welcome all of you to our program, and we hope you're touched and blessed by what you hear, not because of Donna and I, but because we're going to share some things from the Word of God for you that's apropos for this day and this hour. So we're honored to be here with you. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and I was just thinking about this morning, Pastor Donna, before we came on, about 2 weeks, we'll be on the radio for 19 years. On July the 8th, it'll be 19 years on our anniversary, in fact. That's incredible, isn't it?
Our wedding anniversary.
Our wedding anniversary.
Wow.
So
19 years?
It'll be 19 years we've been on WCNO Radio. It's been a good relationship, and we really enjoy doing the program. And we hope you people over the years have received some good things out of it that would benefit you, and that you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt who you belong to.
Amen.
And how important your life is in the Lord's hands, and how He wants to change you and bring you to a new place with Him. That's what we called this program at the beginning, when we started, Raising the Standard.
That's right.
Because we want to raise the standard in the body of Christ. Instead, we're seeing the standard going down in so many areas with immorality and things we get off on that don't amount to anything. We need to think about what God's wanting us to do at this time. And Donna's going to talk about these fields. We just went through Pentecost, and so about the field. And they're ripe for harvest right now. We should be thinking about souls and all that instead of some of the things that we get wrapped up in, spend hours and days on it. And so we're honored to be here with you. And so, as we said, we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We do offer a CD or a tape, whichever you want, of the program. And all we ask for is a love offering. You ask the Lord what He'd have you to give, and we'll be glad to send it out to you. And when you ask and send us a love offering, praise God for that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And also, we might mention, I got my book. We talk about that a lot, the prophetic calendar and God's, hallelujah, I get it straight in my mind in a minute. God's prophetic word is in this book that we wrote, and everything's revolving around God's appointed times. And as revealed, they're not the Jewish appointed times, are they, Pastor John? They're God's appointed times, and He gave it to the Jewish people to honor. And then, of course, we're grafted in, so we should honor it the same way. Amen?
That's right.
So Donna's got a couple things she wants to mention, I think, before we start, and then we'll share a little bit here with you today. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We love you. That's what we're on this program for, to raise the standard and to bring the people of the Lord to a new and deeper understanding of things that God wants us to know in this day and this hour. And it's all in our book called The Bible in front of us, and we teach out of the King James Version. And so all God's appointed times are for a purpose, not only for historical thing that happened, but also the prophetic implications that we have even today. And so we just release ourselves to hear the Lord today as we talk on this program as well with you. So Pastor Guy, you tell them what you'd like to share about it, anything coming up that's important that they might need to know And so we give it to you, honey.
Amen. Well, I just want to say hello to everyone, and we want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on the Capitol side. In mighty ways.
They went from 2 to 6 in the house now, right?
And the temple of God is being
Hallelujah.
Built. And it's going to won't be long before the roof is going to be going on. So
thank you, Lord
if
Jesus.
Anyone is listening to us that goes to the Bahamas or lives in the Bahamas or likes to visit the Bahamas or maybe they're from the Bahamas and maybe they'd like to help Roscoe and Audrey Walks build this church. It's called the Temple of God.
Hallelujah.
And it's on Andros Island. So if that's the case, you just give us a call. We'd be glad to get you in contact with them or and you can talk to them. You can maybe go see them, visit them. Maybe you can help finance the rest of the building. You know, the roof is going to go. It's very expensive. They need They need more steel and all these things that cost money. But praise God that the building's
coming
going
in. Hallelujah.
All the walls are up.
That's right.
Concrete walls are up, and the foundation's there. And
thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's going up. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
So I want to mention that, and also want to mention say hello to others. Anyone else out there listening to us?
Daryl and Jeannie McCray up in Fort Mill, South Carolina.
We start mentioning a lot of names. We can just
well, I'm just saying about the ones that are in ministry that we're involved with. Yeah.
So, well, you mentioned these people. How do they listen to you, Pastor Gene? They listen to us because on the internet.
Right.
So, Pastor Gene said you could order a CD or a tape.
Or the book.
But you can also go back and listen to this broadcast again.
Pictures of the Messiah.
Podcast again on the internet. Mm-hmm. And you can go to WCNO.com and just go to Saturday and look on the program guide, and you can find Raising the Standard with Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton at 12 o'clock noon. And you can, there's a whole bunch of them you can listen to if you'd like to.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I want to mention, too, that we have services here in Stuart, Florida, every Friday night at 7 p.m. and every Sunday at 10 a.m. We have services. So if you'd like to come, give us a call, and we could give you directions on how to find us. We're very easy to find. We're right on Cantor Highway and in Stuart, Florida, off of 95. So that's every Friday night and every Sunday. Right now we're not doing Saturdays. We'll let you know when we do. So just
take a little break during the summer.
Don't take a trip on Saturday until you give us a call and make sure we're going to be there. Amen.
Yeah.
So I wanted to mention that, Pastor Gene. I want to give the phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And you talked about how things are going in the world today.
Yeah, not good, right.
We've been reading the Torah scriptures, and we can see that, things haven't really changed a whole lot because things weren't going well for Israel.
Way back, yeah.
Way back when God gave the commandments and he spoke to Moses at the time of Pentecost and even before,
That's right.
Moses saw God. He spoke to God face to face, the Bible says. And so here we have Moses getting the word of the Lord for the people, for the children of Israel and for those who chose to go with them, because, there was a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt. And so
the Egyptians came, didn't they?
They lived in a place where there was a lot of paganism.
Sure was.
And a lot of other gods were worshipped.
Many
and
gods.
So for them to come out of this and to make a change, they were very disobedient and they were very dissatisfied. And they wanted to go back to their old ways. And, they saw the miracles. They saw all the good things. They heard God's voice.
And yet they were disappointed with God, weren't they?
They heard God's voice. Yet they continued to complain. They weren't satisfied with manna. No. Everything that they had in that manna was everything, all the substance they needed to have health, good health. Bible doesn't talk about them being sick at all, does it?
Nope.
No. But here we have, now you're comparing that, because that's what we're reading now. We're reading that part of in Numbers where, you know, the children of Israel, you know, they cried out for meat. And God gave them meat for 30 days. And you know what? Many of them died because of, they were disobedient. And so what happened? They died. So anyway, so what's happened? How's that like today? Well, there's a lot of disobedient children today, even people who say they're a Christian.
That's right.
Or who say they are of Israel, or they're a Jew, or they're from whatever tribe you might want to say.
Right.
Judah, or any of the tribes that are spread throughout the world, throughout the nations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God said he would call them back, and we know that many are the tribes. So we still have, there's still God's people. Whether they're saved or they're not saved, you know, we're all children of God.
Mm-hmm.
Still disobedient.
That's right.
And still unruly and still don't want to follow. See, Moses was put in a place of leadership.
And right? Authority.
And authority.
That's right.
And he, and there were people put under him.
Absolutely.
Where part of his anointing was placed on them. And because they were, why does the Bible say that? Well, I think it says that because they knew that they were following what Moses said, as Moses followed God. You know, as Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ.
That's right.
Well, they could see that the part of that anointing that was on Moses was placed on them because he needed help. Because
mm-hmm.
they were unruly.
That's right.
But what's happened today? You're talking about, you're reading out of the book of where?
Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm. And the Lord is showing you and breaking your heart
about America.
So
they were in the same place that Israel was back in that day.
Same place.
And so it's a different time and season in history, but the principles and the truth behind it is all right here.
And people don't want to obey the word of God.
Nope.
They don't want to obey what the Bible says. They say that this is, you know,
archaic,
we're not in that age
old,
anymore.
Yeah.
It's old.
It's done away with.
God's word hasn't changed, has
it? It has not.
He says in his word, it doesn't change.
Nope. It never will change.
Never will change. And sin is sin, whether it was back 2,000, 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. Today, it's the same thing. Sin is sin.
He said that heaven and earth would pass away, didn't he? But my word will not pass away. He said, I did not come to destroy or to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I came to fulfill all this. And so whatever he put in place is active for today as well.
And didn't Jesus say to look at what the prophets
have said?
And the Psalms, he talked about in the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, go back and look what they've said. He didn't come to destroy that.
Yeah, I think about.
But what? He said he came to fulfill.
I think about after Jesus' resurrection. Remember when he was on the road and he met these two men? And they were walking to Emmaus. And it said that at the end of that he'd opened up the scriptures about the Torah, you know, the first covenant, and also the prophets, and began to show them the things all through that was talking about the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. It's amazing when you think about it. It's mentioned in the New Testament. So when he had that walk to Emmaus, that'd be an incredible thing, how far they walked. Probably took almost an hour from where they were coming from to go to Emmaus. And they didn't even know it was Yeshua till the end when they broke bread and all. Then they realized that they were in companionship there with Yeshua as he led them and talked to them about the things that was revealed hundreds and hundreds of years before he came to the earth. So I love it. So we have all that to look forward to. We can trust the Lord in all that because he's told us what he was going to do. And as we said, he said that heaven and earth would pass away, but he said, my words will never pass away. Aren't you glad?
Never pass away.
That's right.
He's not God. He's not a man that he should lie.
That's right.
God tells the truth. It's the enemy. John 10:10 says, it's the thief.
It cometh
it's
to
the
steal.
The devil
mm-hmm.
who comes what? He
to
comes
steal,
to
kill,
steal,
and destroy.
Kill, and destroy.
Uh-huh.
But Jesus said also in that chapter that mm-hmm. he came to give us life. What kind of life? Eternal life.
That's right.
Abundant life.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, if we do what's right, we'll have life and we'll have health and we'll have the joy of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the joy of the Lord.
That's right. Let me just read a little bit of this out of Luke chapter. It's in chapter 24 of Luke. when about these two disciples. Let's see where I want to start. Luke chapter, starting in verse 13. Let's read a little bit here.
Okay.
And behold, two disciples went that same day to a village. Now, these weren't the 12. These were some, you know, Jesus had a lot of disciples that weren't the 12.
Mm-hmm.
Same day to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. It's about 7 miles. So how long would it take us to walk 7 miles? I don't know. Probably longer than an hour. And they walked and talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden or held back that they should not know. They didn't know who he was. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. This was the day he rose from the grave. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. All the prophets. Now listen to this. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?
Yes.
In the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things, what? Concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is forspent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Isn't that incredible?
Wow.
Now, let's go over to verse 44 in this chapter. Because then we find out about Thomas coming back here a little bit too, but I'm going to skip that. Let's go over to verse 44. And he said unto them, this is Yeshua speaking, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, hear this, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them again, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. We talked about this the last couple of weeks. The promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. It means you're clothed with that one from on high.
Mm-hmm.
And he led him out to Bethany. And powerful chapter here about what Jesus had to say about his word. The Torah will never pass away.
Well, he makes it quite clear that in verse 44.
That's right.
Because he takes us back to the Torah, back
That's
to
right.
Moses,
That's
back
right.
to the law.
That's it.
The law is, and we talked about that last week, what mm-hmm. is that word law right there? It means the Torah of mm-hmm. Moses.
That's right.
Written in the Torah of Moses, mm-hmm. or law of Moses. And in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So all these things, prophetic things, were written in these places. So we need to stay in, we don't need to stay just in the New Covenant.
We need the entire Bible.
We need the entire Bible. We need the entire Word of God. We need to go all the way back to the very beginning. In the beginning, we have to know what happened in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. How are you going to know about God if you don't go back to the very beginning?
That's right.
Because even if, as you read Genesis, it talks about the different visitations that that Abram had, that Moses had, you know, and face-to-face even, you know, and on the mountain. And then what about the visitation that Abram had when the three men came?
Yeah.
Well, the two angels and one of them was the Lord. Jesus was the Lord himself. Mm-hmm. So we need to go back to reading the law and
comprehend what he's trying to tell
and understand
us.
What God is trying to say.
And what was the Torah given for? A lot of people forget. That's why people today talk about law. Well, they think, well, we're not under that. We're under the new covenant now.
But teaching, okay. Instruction, what
of
else?
Of God. So we learn how to walk a holy life. It never was intended for salvation. It was to show us how to walk with God.
So we'd be obedient.
That's right. Yeshua is the only way for salvation. So it's to teach us how to be obedient with God. So, you know, I went over to Matthew chapter 5 here, verse 17. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to what? To destroy, or means to abolish the law," this is the Torah, "or the prophets. I am not Jesus. Think not that I am come to abolish the law," this is the Torah, "or the prophets. I am not Jesus. Heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the Torah law till all be fulfilled." From the smallest, to the largest letter of the Bible. Some of these are real small, aren't they, Don?
Oh, where is that, Matthew?
Yeah, I'm reading 5:18. So, well, shall pass it till heaven and earth pass one jot or one tittle. Whew. So we talk about the yod, don't we?
That's right. So here we are. We're talking about the complete Word of God.
That's right.
The complete Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So he says, "Or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law of the Torah till all be fulfilled."
And we are commanded not to take out any part of the Word of God, Torah of God, the law of God.
That's right.
And we're not to add too.
Nope. I think about that. Yeah. In no
we're
wise
not to
pass.
Diminish.
Yeah, pass over. We don't pass over it. We pass over it, but not meaning pass away. It didn't pass away, okay? And look at verse 19. "Whosoever, therefore," Jesus said, "shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of God." That's what we're attempting to do on this radio program. We want to be in that category with all of you. But he says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So it's talking about an inner change, isn't it? Based on God's way and his word. Hallelujah.
So what about those who teach
the wrong thing?
The wrong thing.
That's right.
They teach and they say, you know, it's okay to have certain, it's okay to do these things.
That's right.
That are sinful. Well, they're going to fall into judgment.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Because they're not teaching the law of righteousness. They're not teaching the truth. They're not teaching the word of God.
That's right.
Which takes us back to Moses.
Got it.
Because God gave Moses the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not to be abolished or destroyed. Jesus said he didn't come to destroy it, but to fulfill it.
That's it.
He's
going to
fulfill all things.
And he's done it all, hasn't he?
That's right.
He's qualified to be our Savior.
So not one jot or one tittle. That means not the smallest little mark.
That's it.
That's why they're so cautious when they make a Torah scroll, you know, a scribe. If they make a mistake in making, like we make a mistake, we'll erase it, we'll use whiteout, we'll backspace. We can backspace now on our computer, which I guess is okay. But if they make the slightest mistake in making the forming the letters, because they write it by hand, you know, they have to they destroy the whole page.
And do it over again. That's right.
Right, the whole page is taken. They do it all over again.
That's right. Because
they don't want no mistakes. And I'm thinking about one of the ladies in our church, because we've been reading through the Torah for the last 3 years.
That's right.
And, you know, each we have reading. We know we have the Torah.
Reading the same thing the Jews are reading.
The Torah portion. Right. So, you know, if you want a copy of that, you can call us. We'll be glad to send you that information. But, and so actually the Lord spoke to her the second time. She wrote out all, as she was doing the reading, she wrote out all of those first five books. And she has it in this.
That's
this
right.
Nice. She's put it
notebook
in a big notebook.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of pages. I don't know how many pages she has.
Wrote it all out.
She wrote it all out. Every single, from the first five, that's the first five books of the Bible. And this year, she as she was reading, you know, the Lord gives you more and more understanding, illumination. As she's reading, she realized that she did, if she would leave out a word, you know, she might add it to her. Now she's gone back and those pages where she had made an error, you know, a mistake, she's rewriting that whole page.
That whole page.
So, you know, you could say, well, that's legalistic, but it's not. It's honoring the Word of God. And it's in her heart to do that, to honor the Word of God and to write that. And, you know, you were going to talk about, I don't know if you're going to talk about what's your
Ezekiel. Well, I was going to go over to Ezekiel chapter 22 here in a moment.
But I'm reminded just of part, just one little bit of the Torah reading for this week. We're in Numbers. And I'm just going to read just a little bit of it because we're talking about how today people are so unrespectful of the Word of God and just disobedient. Disobedient to parents, disobedient.
Oh, yeah.
It says here in chapter 11, it says, and when the people complained, a lot of people complain, it displeased the Lord. And that's all capitals, Yod Heh Vav Heh. And the Lord heard it. You know, the Lord hears everything.
He sure does.
And his anger was kindled. Well, some people will tell you God is a loving God.
He is
a loving God, but it also says he's, you quoted it last week in church. You know, he's loving and he's also.
Well, there's a goodness of God.
Yes, and the severity.
And there's severity.
That's all. He's loving and he's also. People
there's a goodness of God.
The severity. That's all. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. Now just think about that. I was thinking about that. The uttermost part of the camp. Where's the uttermost part of the camp? To me, it would be the outskirts.
The outskirts of all of it, right.
The outer part. Those who are really hungry for the Lord are going to draw in closer. They want to draw in closer to the fire of God because really the fire of God is good. But it also can destroy.
That's right.
See,
works both ways.
It can burn and cleanse us and purge us, but also the fire of God. In this case, it destroyed those people. But I'm saying, where were these people? They weren't drawing close to the Lord.
No, they weren't.
They were in the uttermost parts of the camp. They were outside.
They were
in the perimeter of the camp. They could see the tent. They could see the smoke of God. They could see the fire of God. And maybe from a distance they could see Moses, you know. I mean, there were a lot of people there, Pastor
Gene.
I'm sure
there were.
And then there were lots and lots of tents and dwelling places. You know, they had a certain order they had to be in around that.
Absolutely.
When they camped. So there were some in the outermost parts, but they weren't close. See, these are the ones in the outermost parts. Those are the ones that were consumed. So to me, that's showing me, you know, I don't want to be in the outermost parts. I want to press into God. And yet God take care of me and cleanse me. He says, and the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Well, you know, God heard Moses' prayer, didn't he?
That's right.
And thank God, I think about Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. He's going to every single state, every capital in the United States, and what is he calling for? Prayer.
Prayer.
For people to pray.
That's right.
And when we prayed on Thursday about the Welsh revival, what caused the Welsh revival to be... to grow like it did. It was because people were getting saved and people prayed. They say that he would pray all night long.
That's when the baptism of the Holy Ghost came in that Welsh revival as well.
Welsh revival.
And it came to America, yeah.
So people were praying, and this is what Franklin Graham is doing. He's calling people to pray and to repent and come to the Lord. And he called the name of the place T-A-B-E-R-A-H, Taberah, I imagine, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude, so there was a mixed multitude because they weren't all Israel that came out.
That's right.
They weren't all Israel among them that then fell a-lusting. Let me read that again. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? They weren't satisfied with what God had given them.
Right.
We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks,
the onions,
and the garlic.
yeah. Yeah.
But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna. This is, see, this, they were complaining about the food, the angels' food.
Supernaturally supplied.
They were complaining about the supernatural food that God gave them, that which within that food was everything they needed.
They could be sustained in the wilderness.
Before our eyes. Yeah. So they were sick and tired of looking at manna. Mm-hmm. And it says, and the manna was as a coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of, I don't know what color that is. But anyways. So here we have the people again complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens? Well, we can read on and tell you what happens. And, God had to, Moses had to deal with so many problems that God had to give him some help.
Yeah.
He had to give him some help, some elders.
Yeah. So he listened to his brother-in-law, I think it was, and told him he needs some help. And so they were going to judge the small cases, and he'd judge the big ones or the ones that they couldn't handle. So it helped him, so. Can you imagine how many people he had to judge and situations that came up, and he had to do it according to the word of God and what God told him to do with all these people? It must have been difficult. What a place to be. No wonder he got upset with them when he was told to speak to the rock and not strike the rock. Mm-hmm. And he was so angry with the people. What happened? He spoke. He didn't speak to the rock. He smote it. And so what happened? It cost him a big price. He was not able to go into the promised land because of his disobedience at that particular time. And so we have to be obedient also and not be disobedient. So there's a lot to think about, you know. And I thought about this. Now we talk about the Torah. You know, when new kings went into office in Israel, they had to take the Torah themselves. I think the Bible said they wrote it all down for themselves, and they would read that over and over and let that be the center point of their life, to do what the Torah had to say in every situation. And some of the kings did, and a lot of kings didn't. And so, you know, we see the bad kings and the good kings. But the good kings that did what God said, they were blessed. And that's what we want. We want to be blessed, don't we, Pastor Doug?
But, you know, even in their disobedience, every day God was faithful to send that manna.
That's right, every day.
Every day, even though they were disobedient. Well, you talked about God having to put what you just said. I'm just going to go ahead and read a little bit more. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all these people upon me?
That's right.
He was heavenly weighed
sure,
down
he
with the burden.
Down all the decisions he had to make.
Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto thy fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they wept unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray. He would rather die, he's saying, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord speaks back to Moses. He says, Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people. So Moses had to discern who were these 70 people.
He had to choose the right ones too, didn't he? Yeah.
And officers over them. He says, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. So he's come to the, bring them to the tent, a congregation, and stand with him. Now, God's telling him what he's going to do. He says, because I think this is really key. We talk about laying hands on people. He says, and I will come down and talk with thee there. Moses, God's going to speak to him. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee.
Mm-hmm.
God was going to take the Spirit that was upon Moses here, and I will put it upon them.
That's right.
So he gave portions of the Spirit that he had placed upon Moses to these men, these 70 men. I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. So I was thinking about this, this is part of our Torah study this week. I was thinking about this. These 70 men had to be in one mind and one spirit with Moses.
That's right.
Because he was taking, God could have said, I'm going to put my spirit, you know, God's spirit upon him. But he wanted them to see that it was Moses that was the authority. So he was going to take part of the spirit that he had placed on Moses and place it on these 70 men, which kind of gives us a different thought about levels of authority,
mm-hmm.
you know, and because a lot of people say, well, God told me this, God told me that, you know, if somebody is in leadership, let's say leadership, then, you know, God, they're going to have, and they're in leadership with say the apostle or whoever, wherever they're at, there should be a unity there, because when somebody sets somebody in, say you're going to set elders in place, they're receiving a portion of the spirit that God had placed upon the leader.
The leaders of the congregation, whatever the ministry leader. It might be, that's right.
So when there's discord and a lot of, you know, things that aren't in agreement, these 70 elders had to pick out elders. That's why it's important to have discernment. He had to pick out elders that God wanted him to have, because he was going to place a portion of the spirit that he had placed upon Moses upon these men.
Mainly they were godly men, trusting God.
But there had to be, you know, had to be agreement. They had to work
That's
together
right.
in agreement, because they had a lot of people to take care of,
sure
to
did.
Say the least. And they were a rebellious bunch.
They sure were.
Unhappy, rebellious. And they, you know, they all died.
First generation all died.
All of them that were over 20, they mm-hmm. all died except for two men.
That's right.
Every single one of them died.
And why were those two men saved? Because they had a different spirit than the rest of them did. And they were obedient, did what God said, told them to do. Amen.
And even Joshua, look at just Joshua out as yep. one. The spirit that was placed upon Moses was placed upon Joshua.
That's right. He took the mantle from that point and went on.
That's right.
And you know, Israel did pretty well until after Joshua left. When he died and went on, well, that's when all the troubles really began in a great way, more so than ever before. But anyway, he delegated authority to these men to make these decisions within the nation of Israel when they were in the wilderness and all that. So it was important.
Now, I understand that Trump has surrounded himself with a certain number of Christian leaders, and he met with them this week. Well, I think that's a wise thing to do. I don't know how many yeah. other times this has happened in history, but there were quite a number of them, mm-hmm. and one of them was Franklin Graham.
That's right.
And there's many of them that you would all know. We could list them, but many of them. And so we pray. That's what we need to do, is we need to pray. We need to pray, like what happened to the Welsh revival.
He'll get
we
good
need
advice,
to pray
yeah.
that he will get wise counsel.
That's right.
And that if he gets wise counsel, then he would listen. But he has agreed to meet with them. So to me, that's the first step.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people say, well, he's had a sinful life. He's this. He's that. Well, who hasn't had a sinful life? You can go and look maybe up the most perfect person. If you look long enough, you're going to find something wrong, something they did wrong. So yeah, but God comes after. He takes the sinners and he changes us and makes us saints, right? So, you know, even though somebody maybe 20 years ago they did something that was wrong, it doesn't mean that they can't change.
That's right.
They receive Christ, and then says what? Behold, all things become new. And perhaps if we pray, you know, perhaps the Lord would salvage our nation to a certain degree. I don't know.
And we've all done silly things when we were younger, haven't we? We've all made mistakes.
We've all sinned.
Especially when we didn't know the Lord. Yeah.
We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory
That's
of God,
right.
you know.
That's right.
Even Moses sinned. That's why Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
He sinned. So I think that's a good thing that, you know, that he met with all these people this week. And so I don't know. I pray that they got some good counsel and he'll listen and they'll be wise people. They'll be wise men
That's right.
and
I hope
women.
So. That's right. And we heard a well-known minister the other night made a comment. He said that, you know, if we don't vote, we're going to put the wrong person is going to get in. And I liked what he said. He says, you know, when Romney ran last time, you know, some people said, well, I'm not going to vote for someone that's a Mormon and all that. But he made an interesting statement. He said, we're not electing a pastor. We're electing a president of the United States that's got wisdom and knowledge, and he can have the church around him to advise and counsel, like Donna talked about, and make the right decisions. So we're not putting a pastor in office. We're putting a president in place. And so they need to be well-rounded and all that. And so we just have to keep praying about all this. It's incredible when we think about it. But anyway, we're in a tough place right now in our country, and we have to continue to pray. And Israel was in a tough place. And so Moses was there to try to bring things together. And even with his authority and all, they still struggled. They still did a lot of things wrong. So no wonder they wandered around in the wilderness, what, for 40 years, didn't they, Pastor Doug?
40 years.
But look at this. I was reading Ezekiel this week, mm-hmm. and I'm going to go over to chapter 22. And remember, God's principles in the Torah are the same today as they were back then. It might be a different scenario, necessarily, you know, possibly. But the thing is, the principles behind all of it is what we want to look to. So God gets very upset. You know, this country was started on Judeo-Christian principles. And so they wanted to obey God. And so we wonder, how in the world have we drifted down to the place where we're at even today with our country, with all the laws, and a lot of them are abomination to God. But listen to this. I'm going to take you to chapter 22. I'd like to read the whole thing, but I might read a part of it here. This is really a good chapter. Where do I want to start at here? Let's start in verse 1 here. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, who's this? To Ezekiel, saying, Now thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? What city? Jerusalem. Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. Well, I think about America. How many cities do we have there? Mm. All these abominations. We got some cities that are worse than others. Then say thou, Thus saith the Lord God, the city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come and maketh idols against herself to defile herself. Now, thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and hast defiled thyself in thine idols which thou hast made. Thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and art come even unto thy years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen, and a mocking to all countries. We're a mocking to most countries in the world right now because of what we're doing. We have no respect anymore. Well, Israel didn't have it either. Those that be near and those that be far from thee shall mock thee with art infamous, which vexed, huh? Which art infamous, unknown, and much vexed. Behold the princes of Israel, it means the leaders, every one were in thee to their power to shed blood. In thee have they set light by father and mother, in the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with a stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. Mm. Thou hast despised mine holy things, and hast profaned, what? My Sabbaths, and so on.
Right.
In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood. The tales just means
lies,
slander and lies. And in thee they eat upon the mountains in the midst of the committed, and they commit lewdness. Verse 11, and one hath commanded abomination, or committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law. This is what we're talking about, incest. Now we have that in America.
You missed verse 10.
Yeah, I know. I meant to. That's all right. Let's read verse 10 too. In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness. In thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution. This pollution just means for impurity. And then we read verse 11. Let's read it again. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife. What's that? Adultery. And another with lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law. This you're talking about incest. And another in thee hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter.
Terrible.
In thee have they taken gifts. This means bribes to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury, misses interest and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. We got people right now, it was on the news last night, of another man in politics that's sent to jail for 15 months because of extortion. Okay? So we have this in our country. God hates this. Now, verse 13. Behold, therefore, I have smitten mine hand at thy dishonest gain. Boy, we have a lot of that. I'm thinking about this. You know, we have someone running for president that talks about women's rights, receiving all this money from these Islamic nations over in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia and all that, and the way they treat women. You know, they defile them. They can't have a job. They can't drive. They can't do this. They can't do that. Amen? And so, and then they give money to this person to run for office in the United States of America. To me, that's hypocrisy, which thou hast, a dishonest gain which thou hast made at thy blood which hath been in the midst of thee. Can thine heart endure, or can thine hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. I will scatter thee among the heathen. They did that with Israel, didn't he? And disperse thee in the countries, and will consume thy filthiness out of thee. And we can go on and read on down even more where I want to go here. I want to go to verse 23 now. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying again to Ezekiel, Son of man, say unto her, who's the her? Talking about Israel and Jerusalem mainly. Thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. there is a conspiracy for prophets. Well, we have conspiracies in our country everywhere, don't we?
Conspiracy of her prophets.
And it's even happening with the prophets, okay? But I think about leaders doing this as well. The prophets were supposed to be the leaders also, you know, to give them the truth from the Word of God. In the midst thereof, like a roaring lion, ravening the prey, they have devoured souls, they have taken the treasure and precious things, they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Now this is her priest. Are we a priest? We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. And so we should be thinking about ourselves that we're in the priesthood. Her priests back in that day have violated what? My law or my Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy
and the profane.
And profane. And we got this just the opposite today, don't we? We call those things holy, evil, and the evil things we call good. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I have profaned among them. Here we go again. Her princes or her leaders in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain.
Just like that today.
That's right. It's going on today. And her prophets have daubed them. I mean, daubing, you know, like you're putting a mortar or something on a wall, with untempered mortar, saying vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, or oppression could also be deceit, exercised robbery and have vexed the poor, and yea, they have oppressed the oppression could also be deceit, exercised robbery and have vexed the poor, and among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the lamb, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. That's an indictment against our country as well. We don't have anybody up there that's going to be willing to do that.
Looking for a person, a man that would stand for righteousness.
That's right, in the gap.
Stand in it.
That's right.
Make up the hedge.
That's it.
And stand in the gap.
Before me, for the land, for our country, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. If we don't change, some terrible things are going to happen. Verse 31, the last one of this chapter. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. It's incredible. It is just totally incredible. So that's where we are right now. And if we continue on the same way, on the same path we're going on, we're going to have some terrible destruction in this country that's going to come. God's just going to leave us alone completely. But I think the thing that's holding back right now, Pastor Don, is there's lots of righteous people in America that are praying. And that's what's holding back. Like when Abraham was told about Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, remember he prayed and asked, you know, well, if there'd be 10 righteous, you know, or 40 or 50 or whatever. And so God took him down to what? 10 righteous. And there'd be 10 righteous there, so I won't do it. Well, there wasn't 10 righteous. Well, one day there's going to be the resurrection out from among the dead and the catching away. And when the church, the dead in Christ, and those that are alive and remain, that are walking with the Lord, leave, all hell's going to break loose in this country. They certainly will. And there won't be any righteous people. So God will really bring major, major judgment to this country. But we don't want to see people destroyed, because God's plan is that all would not perish, but all would come to repentance. And so we have to keep that in our mind as we talk about these things and lift up our country. But we're in a bad place right now. All the stuff we hear on the news right now, but the stuff with the election, you know, running each other's character down, doing this and doing that, instead of just talking about the issues, what needs to be changed in our country? What can we do to turn things around? This is what needs to be talked about and have good answers from people, and that's who we vote for. So when we vote, we want to vote according to biblical purposes and plans, not political purposes and plans. So we need to break the political cartel that's in Washington, D.C., and all together. You know, we see all this about this major disaster that happened to Orlando. Well, they think it's all about guns. It's not about guns. It's about a thing called ISIS, you know, this radical Islamic situation that's going on. And the other thing is about people's, about the person. You know, if they didn't have a gun, they'd find something else. They'd find a bomb. What happened at the Boston Marathon there several years ago? Well, it was a bomb. Well, it could be anything that they'll use it. It's not just a gun. And so they think, because they're going to lock up guns, it's going to stop it. Chicago, for instance, has the highest gun laws and regulations probably of any city in America, and they have more murders every week in that city than any place in America. I don't see anybody complaining about that, and they got all the guns supposedly taken away. They couldn't have guns, but they're still killing one another, right? Killing one another right and left. So here we are in our country. Well, the things we just read is where we're at today. We have corruption. We have conspiracies. We have all kinds of things. Nobody wants to admit it. And even though some of these people have been involved with these conspiracies, some people would vote for them regardless of what happened. Think about what happened with President Clinton when he was in office. What he did in that office with Monica Lewinsky, I'll get it right in a minute. If that would have been George Bush, a Republican, you know what would have happened? Would they have been impeached, but they would have been removed from office. He was never removed from office, so they accepted what he did. What kind of an example is that to our young people? And there was, you know, something happened on a school bus a few months after that happened, and he was doing the same thing on a school bus. And you know what he told the people that took him to the principal's office and he got in trouble? He said, well, President Clinton did it. Huh?
It's terrible.
So see, we need godly examples in Washington, D.C. We need some men that will stand in the gap, like we just read here in chapter 22, verse 30, that will stand in the gap for our country and do the right things. We need some moral character in our land with our leadership, especially to do things morally right, totally morally right. That's what we have to pray for somehow, some way. So I get worked up thinking about it because I love this country so much and I see where we're going. You know, I'm 76 now and I think about where this country's gone in all these years since I was even in high school. And you look back, it's amazing. How do we get here? Is it because the church hasn't stood up? What's happened? We haven't obeyed the law. We haven't taken the things in the Hebrew scriptures that Donna's been talking about, the Torah, and applying it to our lives today. Because the principles are still there, aren't they, Pastor Donna?
Yes, they are.
Sure are.
God hasn't changed.
Sure hasn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I like what the prophet Malachi said. He heard from God. He says, God says, I am God and I change not. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change? But we try to change everything else. So,
but we must keep going, pressing on, and
right.
Do what God's called us to do.
That's right.
You know, if everyone does a little, then, you know, things can begin to change. So as long as we have breath, you know, we can't quit. Jesus said, don't just quit, you know.
You keep going.
Over here in John chapter 4, Jesus is speaking, you know, and he tells them, he says, verse 31 in John chapter 4, he says, it says, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And then Jesus said to them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. What is that?
To do the will of God.
His meat was to do the will of God, wasn't it?
That's right, absolutely.
And so we're not talking about manna or quail or anything like that, or fish or garlic or leeks. No, his meat. He said, I have meat that ye know not of. We're talking about spiritual food. You see, God gave them spiritual food. That manna was spiritual food.
Sure was.
But they didn't want to receive that spiritual food that God had given them. That was supernatural food from heaven.
That's right.
And they rejected it. They rejected God by not receiving the food that he gave them.
It got old to them, didn't it?
Yeah, and sometimes the things of God, the people let it get old.
That's right.
And so that's when they end up on the outskirts of the camp.
You got it.
You know, that's when they don't come to church. Or, you know, they don't fellowship. They don't read their Bible. Mm-hmm. They get away from the things of God. And verse 33 says, Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? See, they didn't understand. They were thinking in the natural.
That's right.
Did somebody bring him food that we don't know about? Did we miss out on that meal?
Yeah.
That's what they were thinking, right? They were back. They were in their soulish realm.
Natural mind, yeah.
And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So he clearly tells them that his meat is to do the will of God, of the Father, who sent me, he said, and to finish his work, to finish the work God had sent him to do.
Amen.
And Jesus goes on and says, So to me, this timing here must have been right after Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
It's for 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. So what month would come in 4 months? Well, think about it. It would be in the fall. It would be the final harvest of the wine and the
grapes, figs,
and pomegranates and the oil. The last one, the oil. He says, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes." So he wasn't talking about just the things, the harvest coming in of food that they would eat. Mm-hmm. He says, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." He's talking about, now we're talking about the reapers going out. What are we supposed to be?
Reapers.
Reapers going out into the harvest field. And Jesus says, don't say there's 4 more months.
That's right.
He said,
right now.
For they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. We're talking about souls. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. Yes. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Yet other men labored, and ye are entered into their labor. So we are to go out into the field.
And work like a team together, right?
This is the summer. We're in the summertime.
Amen.
So Jesus said, don't say there's 4 more months. Now is the time. The time of our program has come to an end.
Go out. If you think about it, some people planted the seed. Someone else came along and watered it. Maybe someone else put a little fertilizer on it. And eventually, what? God brought the increase.
God brings
the increase.
So
we're all part of it. It's incredible.
That's right. We're part of it.
Amen.
Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be with you every Saturday at 12 noon. And you can also listen to this program again on the internet or on the internet at WCNO.com. So call us and reach us. I'll give you the phone number. We have services here in Stuart every Friday night at 7 p.m. with a Shabbat service and every Sunday at 10 a.m. And you can reach us at area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we are in Stuart, Florida.
As we close this program, remember, the Torah was put in place to teach us how to walk a holy and righteous life with God. So we do not say it's not valid for today. The principles, spiritual principles are there. And if we'll stay in that, like he said, he says, I did not come to destroy or abolish what? The Torah or the prophets. I came to fulfill them. And so he wants us to walk. This is our instructions, how to walk this holy life. And so we look to him in everything that we do. So don't let anybody tell you this has been done away with, because it has not. And we see the principles I read right here today in Ezekiel chapter 22, how our countries fall in line with that. So as we close the program every week, we tell you we're on this program.
We see the principles
in Ezekiel chapter 22, God has never asked Jesus to do that. So as we close the program every week, we tell you we're on this program.
We see
the program, we tell you to look up, because our redemption draws us, God has never asked Jesus to do that. So we close the program every week, we tell you we're on this
program. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.